Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. Okay, before we hop into the episode, something that I just want to acknowledge, because now you will know that we're not just saying it because it's a sponsor for the podcast, which yes, they are a sponsor, but we literally eat Paleo Valley all the time. And it's the best to-go snack. And I know we've said this before, it's something that's so easy to grab and go, but it's literally what we take on the road with us all the time. And one place I take it in particular a lot is when I'm shooting. And I love that now the guys that I shoot with or any of the people that are on set, they like know that these are going to come with me. And they are so excited when I'm like, do you want a beef stick? Yes, I've been waiting for this. I love it so much. Like, we are getting people on board just by bringing them around and having extras with us all the time, because I'm telling you, so good. 100% grass-fed, which means you know that you're putting good stuff in your body. You're getting high protein, so it's not just an empty snack, but it's actually going to keep you satiated. So head to the link in our bio. Go check out Paleo Valley if you haven't yet, and at least grab yourself some beef sticks. Use code OPTIMAL because then you get 15% off and you get treated with some amazing snacks. I'm so excited for this next interview because we get to interview Dr. Marcy Crouch, who's another doctor of physical therapy, but she is board certified clinical specialist in women's health physical therapy, which means she is going to talk about pelvic health, all things pelvic health, what the heck the pelvic floor actually means, what it is, how we identify it and start to use it, what makes it functional, should we just be doing Kegels, all of it. And then we're going to go into birth prep and we're going to go into other areas, painful sex. So this is definitely something that is not talked about enough. And I really highly recommend sticking around, sharing this out, because you're going to learn so much. And we're just barely scratching the surface here. She's taught pregnancy and sexual health courses in her community, as well as continuing education courses for PTs, both nationally and internationally, and has taught at the university level. Marcy has worked in private practice and hospital outpatient clinics in Texas, California, and Oregon, and now she lives in Alabama. She has owned a successful clinic, built a following on social media as at The Down There Doc, which you can look up right now. Such a brilliant name, The Down There Doc. She's spoken at national events, contributed to popular blogs and magazines, and is having candid and powerful conversations about women's health and how we need to do better. She's got programs. She's the founder of the DT Method, which is an online program that is new standard for birth prep and recovery. She's changing the way that women are preparing for births and elevating postpartum care for all. Her little hashtag that she uses is No Vagina Left Behind, and it's absolutely amazing. She herself is a mother of two boys, and so she has a firsthand experience with this as well as being a professional. So I know you're going to learn so much. So again, this is taboo topics a little bit. So pass it along to your friends that you know this can be supportive with as well. Marcy, thanks so much for joining us. You are our first official pelvic floor therapist on the podcast, and something I mention all the time. And I'm always like, go see a pelvic floor therapist, go see someone, you know, but yeah. I am not an expert myself. So we are just so appreciative that you're here to drop some knowledge to our people today.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much for having me. I love it. You know, I love to talk shop. So anytime you want to talk about vaginas, you just let me know.
Yeah. Going to dive tons into that. But one of the places we love to start with everybody is why? Like, why do you love what you do so much? What brings you the passion to get this out to people?
Oh my gosh, how much time do we have? Like, this is like my Oscar nomination speech. I just love working with women and birthing persons. And I love kind of the connection of working with women through their lifespan. The thing that's so awesome about pelvic health is that you get to see women kind of like through every big milestone of their life, like when they're starting to think about babies, when they are getting married, when they're having more babies, when they're done having babies, when they're going through menopause. So it's like, it's a really cool like patient relationship to kind of be this person that's always supporting them through these big like transformative life moments. So I love that. The other part that makes me so passionate about this is that I am like a raging feminist and I feel very strongly that women and birthing persons are not supported the way that they should be from like a physical recovery standpoint when we're preparing for birth and when we're recovering from birth. And what women get is very lacking in the medical field compared to what other people get when we're comparing like musculoskeletal injury or stress and strain or overuse. And so I really want to change the way that we are approaching healing women after delivery and even preparing them for birth. I want it to be very similar to like what athletes get and weekend warriors get. So I feel that women and especially minority women are underrepresented and really needing more support and guidance and resources and knowledge. So I fell into this profession and I love this niche of it. And I feel like it's a lot bigger than me. And there's a lot of women out there that need a ton of support in this area and they're just not getting it.
Oh my goodness. Yes, yes, yes to all of that. And this is why I'm one, love your page. The name is brilliant. So you guys can just go look it up right now. The Down There Doc. So good. But you really do, not only the way that you're educating and information that you're providing, but what I appreciate about your page too is that you provide grace. Like, you know, and just showing it through the example of talking into your own experiences and stresses and stuff. And then being able to allow the space for women to actually be in this place as well, because as you said, we don't get a lot of information on this. We are just kind of thrown in to figure it out. And I think it's so unfortunate. And there's a lack of understanding, there's a lack of knowledge, and there's just a lack of connection to this particular area of the body usually, which is the pelvic floor. So let's just talk there and start there. What the heck is the pelvic floor when people are mentioning this?
Yeah, for sure. So the pelvic floor is basically like the floor of the core, and it's a basket of muscles that sit at the bottom of your pelvis. So when you hear people talking about like doing a Kegel exercise or trying to like squeeze your vagina muscles, those are the group of muscles that they're referring to. And the pelvic floor is made up of the same stuff as other skeletal muscle in our body. So it's like the same sort of muscle fibers as your bicep or your quad or your calf muscle. So because it's made up of the same kind of stuff, it's kind of prone to the same type of injuries, and it follows the same sort of physiologic principles when we're talking about strengthening and training and rehabbing. But we don't ever really think about like, oh, I need to train my pelvic floor if I'm like going to be going for a, like training for a marathon, or I need to train my pelvic floor if I want to be lifting heavy weights or whatever, you know, insert whatever sport or activity that you're doing. So a normal functioning pelvic floor has three kind of main jobs. The first one is support, because it's at the bottom of our pelvis. So it really is like the mothership of our core, and it holds us up against gravity. So in the pelvic bowl, there's like your vagina, your uterus, your cervix, your bladder, your urethra, your rectum, your guts. Like they're all kind of packaged very nicely in this pelvic bowl. And the pelvic floor muscles are at the bottom of all of that, holding it up against gravity with our body weight. So it's a lot of load on these muscles. The second main function is continence. So that means that it's keeping pee and poop in and letting pee and poop out when it's time to go to the bathroom. So in a normal kind of functioning pelvic floor, we are able to stay dry when we're active, when we're sleeping, when we're moving around. And then when we have the urge to go to the bathroom or go poop, we do that. Pelvic floor relaxes, urine and poop come out, and then the pelvic floor turns back on again. And then the third function is a sexual function, because this first layer of muscles attach to the sides of the clitoris. And so for women, they help with that kind of rhythmic contraction for orgasm or climax. Same with men. Men have a pelvic floor too. And they help kind of like push the ejaculate out, like with that rhythmic contraction, and they help aid in erection as well. The other thing with sex for women is that the first layer of the pelvic floor muscles have to relax and open to allow any sort of vaginal penetration. So whether that's like a tampon or a penis or a finger or whatever, those muscles have to be able to relax in order to allow that vaginal penetration. So it's not only climax and orgasm, it's also like accommodation as well. So those are the kind of the three main jobs of the pelvic floor, and it's working all the time. We don't ever really get to rest it like we would do if we had a sprained ankle and like put a boot on. Like our pelvic floor has to work for us a lot, all the time.
Wow. First off, I think we need to take that little soundbite and play it for everybody, men, women, everybody, as they're growing and learning more about their body and going through their puberty stages. I hardly even know where to go with my next question. So the pelvic floor is also part about this core. And you talked about training and how people, you know, need to start to become more aware of this, even when they're doing different training, like heavy lifting or higher level athletics, but even really any movement whatsoever. So can you just talk a little bit about how this pelvic floor works into the core in general, and how we can start being more aware of it during training, whatever that means for us?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely different for everybody and kind of like what their goals for training are. But like a good rule of thumb would be the lower abdominals, like the deepest ones, transverse abdominis, kind of like these, the main stabilizers of the core and the trunk, they work together with the pelvic floor. They're what we call synergists, which means that they, in, you know, normal, quote unquote, kind of optimal functioning, they move together and they contract together. So when we're talking about like a proper pelvic floor contraction, it's not just like a isolated squeezing of your vagina. It's a symphony of timing and different muscles and coordinated with the breath and movement. So in the example of like an athlete or somebody that's like lifting or jumping or whatever, when they're starting to work on core stability, and you know, we hear that word all the time, like work on your core, get stronger in your core. Like oftentimes we're not saying like, and also make sure that your pelvic floor is turning on at the same time as your deep abdominals through this motion. You know, when you're lifting heavy, you know, we teach our athletes like not to hold their breath, right? Because like we don't want to bear down and increase all this abdominal pressure. So when we're teaching them how to breathe, we also need to be teaching them how to like bring in the pelvic floor at the same time, because all of these structures work together. And we see better, the literature is out there to show that we see improved pelvic floor contraction and kind of regulation of abdominal pressure and improved abdominal function when all of these pieces are working optimally together. So if I was like the president and ruled the world, I would want young athletes to start to be taught about their pelvic floor when they're starting to learn like lifting techniques and jumping and doing core work and that sort of thing. Because like, they're not taught about that. The only thing that we really get kind of in mainstream media is like, oh, do Kegels to like have a tight vagina, squeeze your vagina at a red light, you know, anytime you're at a stoplight. But it's like, just like you guys know, that's not functional, right? Like we need all of these other muscles and functional situations to come in to show benefit and proper movement strategies. So it's a lot more complicated. And I think a lot of people need to start to, in the right way, like bring this into their training. And I think we'll see a lot like less back pain and less injury and improved lifting and less like pelvic floor dysfunction down the road, which is what I see, you know, in as a pelvic floor PT, like prolapse and hemorrhoids and that sort of thing.
So how do we start to work with that so that we do prevent those types of things? I think, you know, it's no one really knows what prolapse is until they go to Google and start typing things in and see these scary photos. And and a lot of the articles that I still see is like, well, don't lift heavy, don't do this. Like, and it's it just creates this fear. Well, I can't lift heavy. I can't do these things anymore. Yep. I need to just do yoga and Pilates because that's what Dr. Google said.
Right. Right.
Where it's like, so how do we start to even address what this pelvic floor can feel like during movement, or even just start to become aware? Like, what is one step that you would tell people to do right now?
Yep. So kind of what I usually like to start people out with is what I call like functional Kegels. Like, I want people to start to understand what it feels like when their pelvic floor is on, when they're doing things throughout the day that increase abdominal pressure. So like, for example, every time you get up from a chair, I would say like, okay, you know, we're engaging our core when we're getting up out of bed or getting up from the chair. So like, do a Kegel at the same time that you're starting to like add this load, right? Like just body weight from getting up from the chair, or every time you sneeze, or every time you bend down to pick up your bag, you know, like start to get in the habit of like one thing that you do every day that you could just tack along your pelvic floor in with that activity. And that's when we really need it to be on to support us when we're moving. Right now we're just like sitting in a car. Sometimes people have a hard time figuring out what that feels like because they've never been trained or taught. Like, what does it feel like when you do a pelvic floor contraction? What does it feel like when the muscles let go? So if they can't quite figure that out, then we take a step backwards. And I like them to start out kind of a little bit more quiet, stationary across gravity, so we're not adding in that load, and just starting to like link the breath and the abdominal contraction with a pelvic floor contraction as well. And be like, okay, what does it feel like when you have these three components together? Do you feel like you get a better pelvic floor contraction when you're engaging your abs and breathing the right way? Okay, now you feel that. That's what it feels like when you're, you know, when you're doing a Kegel. Now add that into sitting or standing or lifting or whatever. So it's just like any other principle of motor learning. Like, we sometimes have to break it down into components and then we start to add it into function.
And do you recommend people use like fingers or tools or anything to start, like especially laying down, so not doing it against gravity? Do you recommend mm-hmm. that people start to explore?
Totally. I'm like all about explore. I'm like, yes. I think there's like yeah, for sure. I mean, everybody's a different type of learner, right? So I have some clients who are visual learners. And so I have them like look with a mirror and you can see some of like the skin around the opening or the perineum, which is that space between the bottom of the vagina and like your booty hole. When you do a contraction, like that perineum will kind of move. It goes towards your head a little bit. So sometimes like when you watch that, people are like, oh yeah, yeah, okay. Like, I get it. Like, I'm drawing the perineum away. I'm like lifting it up. Other times, if you insert a finger into your vaginal canal, or sometimes like a vibrator, that can give a little bit of tactile feedback, like squeeze and lift the vibrator up, or squeeze and lift this, or, you know, feel it around your finger. And that can help people if they need a little bit more like tactile cues. But yeah, and then there are other like products out there too that you can insert into the vaginal canal and they give you a little bit of feedback that way too. But anything that helps your learning is like completely appropriate. I mean, when I'm in the clinic, I teach them with my finger in their vagina, you know, and we do it in different types of positions depending on what their symptoms are and what their goals are. But in order to be successful in training your core, you have to be able to know how to properly engage those muscles at the right time with the other ones, just like any other type of movement pattern.
That's, I think, so valuable. Anytime that, like you said, you can use that biofeedback mm-hmm. for the purpose of becoming more aware of being able to feel something you couldn't before. And I mean, personally, just to say, I connect with these conversations a lot because as somebody who has dealt with some urge incontinence issues mm-hmm. coming out of playing college football and having other friends call me up that I played with being like, dude, why do I stand up and pee myself?
Right.
It's really scary once you yeah. start to explore that. And I mm-hmm. learned a lot about how tight I was holding it sometimes mm-hmm. when I shouldn't have been. And how, so using tools, so valuable. And I appreciate when you throw in men have pelvic floors too, even though yeah. I know we're going to talk a lot about women today, because personally, I've had a lot of friends who've come to me and we're young and it's not yeah. something that people talk about. And
no.
that's something that I want to go into next, especially with women. You said, like, we just don't have the support out there. We don't have the information out there. There's all these things that people just say, oh, that's normal. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's normal. Everyone deals with that. Can you start to bust some myths up for us?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm really glad that you brought that up because I really hate that. I really hate that response. Like, that's normal. That's normal. And, you know, I've talked a lot about this. I talk a lot about this on my social media and talk a lot about it with my clients. But, you know, common versus normal, right? Like, common is not the same thing as normal. And, you know your body best, right? Like, as a therapist, my job is to teach you movement strategies and motor programming and like all the things to kind of help you. But you're the one that is experiencing it in your body. So if you're telling me that something is different for you and you're not used to it, like urge incontinence or like, you know, I never used to have a tight pelvic floor, like sex never used to be painful, or, you know, I never used to leak, like I believe you. And that's not normal for you and what your baseline is. So I think like the big myth, especially for women after having babies, you know, is that they have a lot of pelvic floor dysfunction and, you know, leaking urine is very common. You know, with some studies say 1 in 4 women have pelvic floor dysfunction after baby. Some studies say 1 in 3, which is a lot of people, you know, when you look at the general population. And so I think they're starting to equate that because there's so many people that experience it, then that's just like normal. And that's what should happen when it's not normal. That wasn't happening prior to pregnancy. Like, this was an event that caused some dysfunction now. And it's not, we don't say that to like baseball pitchers, you know, who had a surgery, and we don't just say, oh yeah, it's like normal that you don't have full range of motion, but you should still go pitch this game without any rehab. You know, it's the same kind of idea. So I think the big myth is that, you know, it's not normal to leak pee. It's not normal to have pain with sex, you know, unless you want to have pain with sex. And it's not, you know, normal to just feel like you have to, it's just part of aging and just part of like being a woman is like, oh, well, you chose to have babies. So like now you're just going to leak and that's the deal. Like those myths are the things that I think are really kind of stand in the way of people getting the help that they need and also feeling like they can talk about this stuff with their providers. Like you said, you know, people don't talk about it a lot, and it's no wonder why people don't talk about it a lot. They're told that they don't have a problem when they do. And it's very invalidating and very, I think, irresponsible of the medical community to respond in that way. But I think that's why a lot of people don't talk about it, because they don't get what they need.
Yeah. And it's not publicized as much, right? We see all these things on social media, cracking backs or rubbing or doing massage or anything like that. But you don't get to see the person who is struggling with pelvic floor issues a lot or might be leaking during exercise. And if this is something that is happening for someone's listening and they're like, oh, I just thought, you know, that would be normal.
Right.
What is the first thing that they should do
when they experience something like that? Well, I think, you know, talk to your provider would be number one. I always say that with a little bit of caution because I don't want to like generalize, but most people don't quite get the response that I would like them to get from providers. But, you know, some do. But you always want to like talk to your provider and see, you know, just make sure that there's not something else going on, like an infection or something like that, especially if this is a new experience for you, right? Like all of a sudden I just started leaking last week and like before I was doing the same activity and I wasn't leaking. So like, let's rule out any sort of systemic issue. And then if there's not, then I think like, it's not crazy to try to see what's going on from like a pelvic floor standpoint. And we look at all of these factors, you know, like, go see a pelvic floor PT. Like, let's look at your program. Let's look at your fluid intake. Let's see like what your load is like. Have we increased mileage? Have we increased, you know, weight lifting? Have we done added something to the program that's different? Like, is there another injury? Do you have something going on with your hip? Is there something going on in your back? Like all of these things kind of play into what's happening with the pelvic floor. Like, where are you on your cycle? Like, did we change birth controls? There's all these factors. And I think if somebody's experiencing that and it's new for them, and even if it's not new for them, then they definitely should seek an assessment and, you know, figure out kind of what's going on and how we can remedy that so that it doesn't continue to get worse or continue to be a barrier for them or a cause for them to stop doing what they want to be doing.
Yeah, I think that's so valuable. And I think, like you said, it is unfortunate that people going to their provider doesn't always yield the exact answer right. that you might give them. But some of the things that you just listed out, I think going in armed with the information that, okay, there are options there. And if my provider gives me the answer that, oh, this is just normal, do some Kegels when you're at the red light and blah, 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 whatever. Arm yourself with some of the questions, like the 8 to 10 you just listed off, like write those down and bring them into your provider and say, I know there are some options. If you don't feel comfortable answering some of these things, is there anyone you could refer me to? Do you know of any special health, you know, or pelvic health therapists in the area that I could connect with, and things like that. And I also think something that you love to talk about is just preparation for birth, or mm-hmm. how soon can we start this stuff? Another mm-hmm. resource that I think is almost completely absent that we need to continue to try and grow in our medical system. So what can people do if they are wanting or even starting to think about having a baby? Where mm-hmm. can they start?
Oh my gosh, that's like my favorite question. Again, if I ruled the world, I would want like everybody before they get pregnant or when they're starting to think about growing their family to come into pelvic floor PT and like get a baseline. Be like, okay, just see like what your pelvic floor is like. What are your exercise goals? What is your activity level like? You know, what's happening? So we have something to compare it to, right? And then let's get pregnant. You get pregnant and then we can work during the pregnancy to help prepare for delivery in a way that we prepare for like any sort of major event. So what I do in my programs is I teach birthing persons and mamas how to push the right way. What positions for birth are best for their body? Where do they get the best pushing in, you know, each position? If they have back pain or hip issues prior to pregnancy, what positions are more advantageous for that? You know, what can we do to reduce the risk of significant perineal tearing and trauma? How to breathe? What are some pain reduction strategies? What do we need to do to keep you comfortable up to the delivery? What sort of garments and products should we be in? What are we doing to like help tissue healing? All of the same, exact same principles that we're giving people who have knee surgery, who have shoulder surgery, need to be applied to the person going in for delivery. And whether the delivery ends in like a spontaneous vaginal delivery with like no tearing or trauma or ends in an emergency C-section, they need to have the same resources that the people going in for knee surgery have because the tissues are the same. And I would actually argue that women who are having babies have it harder because they've just like been growing this human in them for 9-10 months. And so the load is getting bigger and bigger and bigger on these structures. And then they go through a labor, which is like 24 hours, 36 hours. They're depleted on fuel. You know, maybe we're vomiting, we're not eating. And then we have to push a baby out, which is like hours of muscle contraction. And so how do we like prepare for that? What do we need to give these women to be, to have a better time and recover easier, like how we're supporting our people that are going in for shoulder and knee surgery. So I would say like any stage during pregnancy, it's appropriate to see a pelvic floor PT or go through a program like mine to kind of help just get ready for delivery and know what to expect. You know, like what are the things that can happen? What are the unpredictables? What are the things we can control? What are the things we can't control? And then what do we do about it moving forward? Because so much of it is like, I didn't know about this. They didn't teach me about this. Why didn't they tell me about it? I didn't know that this could happen. Why does my vagina feel like this? Why am I so swollen? Like all of these things that, you know, they're just, women are just aren't getting this knowledge for postpartum recovery. So anytime during pregnancy, it would be awesome to have prep, basically, like we're prepping our soccer players.
That's absolutely so, so crucial. And just hearing all the steps that you can be supported in, I think can help to just raise awareness to start to even think about this stuff, you know? And what's interesting too is my future sister-in-law just recently had a baby and had a pretty painless experience.
So awesome.
And was very prepped and, you know, I mean, she had a home birth and was very supported. But is that possible? Is it possible to prep the body in a way that can essentially create the tissues and the mindset and everything to be prepared for an almost painless birth?
I mean, that's like the dream. So birth can be very unpredictable, right? Yeah. I mean, there are lots of things that can happen that we can't have any control over or prepare for, like baby position. You know, we can prep the perineum, but if like the baby is transverse or comes out with like, you know, their elbow sticking out or the shoulder dystocia, like we can't, nothing in our perineal kind of prep will change that. However, there are studies to support, and this is like in the pain science as well, that we can mentally and physically prepare for kind of whatever turn our birth takes, and people can still have a very positive birth experience. And what a positive birth experience is different for everybody. And you can still have a gentle, positive, kind of joyful birth, even if you end up going like, you know, for an emergency C-section or something like that. And I am not one to like judge however anybody wants to have a delivery. Like if they schedule a C-section, great. If you have to go for a C-section, fine. If you do like, you know, a vaginal delivery in the ocean with dolphins swimming around, like totally fine, as long as everyone's safe. Like I am not a judgy about that at all. But I do want women to understand that there are these options and there's all these choices, and we can prepare and control for as many of the things that we can prepare and control for. And all of the prep and knowledge and resources will contribute to a positive, you know, painless as possible delivery. And there are a lot of great resources out there for women to do like hypnobirthing and meditation. And there's a wonderful woman, her name is Tracy, who's a midwife who does a program like this. And she uses like pain science and neuroscience and sports psychology to train women's brains and their partners' brains for birth. And the outcomes that she gets from her clients are amazing because like they've been prepped just like we would prep physically. She's prepping them mentally. And it's just like about focus and meditation and all of these like proven, we know that all of that stuff helps like in the brain. And so, yeah, I think it is possible. It's just like providing women with these resources and not making them think that the only way to have a baby is like screaming, you know, like they show in movies, exactly. Kind of deal. So yeah, I mean, it's really amazing what's out there for women.
Exactly. If we could rewrite the script on what it's supposed to be, I think, you know, you go in general with a lot less fear, no matter what the circumstances, and being supported with knowledge is everything. And that always is going to help us to feel more prepared. One other thing we wanted to talk on too, because you did bring up, you know, it is getting help psychologically as well as physically, right? And so there's other realms in which can support the pelvic health. And I know you talk about this a little bit too, especially if, say, you have pain after baby when you're having sex and some other health issues that might be going on. What are things that you ask people to look at in the full scope of everything?
Yeah, I think that's so important. Well, we know that physical limitations and kind of prolonged recovery have an effect on our mental health. And there's studies to support this. And from like a new mom standpoint, like transitioning into the role of a new mother, it's very hard. And there's a lot of, you know, sometimes loss of identity. Sometimes it's hard to bond with the baby. You're exhausted. Your hormones are going all over the place. Like your body feels like you're in a foreign body. And there's just a lot, you know, you're on no sleep. You're trying to breastfeed. You're like keeping this baby alive. There's so much happening in your world. Like your world just gets rocked. I mean, it's amazing and beautiful, but it's definitely challenging. And we know that some of the physical stuff can influence the mental stuff and vice versa. So I think it's super important. And I'm a big, big, big advocate of a team, like having a team in place in terms of your providers. Postpartum doulas are super helpful to kind of help with these like nighttime feedings and latching and that sort of thing. Pelvic floor PTs, obviously, mental health providers that specialize in like the early postpartum stage and the later postpartum stage, and coming up with a plan that allows you to recover easier so your mental health can be taken care of as well. I mean, because we know that there's like sometimes feelings of isolation as a new mom. And if you want to go out and like be outside and walk around or meet your friends for coffee or something, but you can't because your vagina hurts or you're like peeing all over the place, you're not going to leave your house. You're not going to get the benefits of exercise. You're not going to have that social interaction. You're going to feel more isolated. You're going to feel like you're chained to the bathroom. it's just all bad for moms. Like, it's just not helpful. And then saying like, oh, that's normal, here's a pad, is like just making it worse. You know, it's not like offering solutions or support. So it's like, how do we have to weave all of it together. So the example that you brought up with sex is that there are a lot of women who experience pain with sex. In fact, 9 out of 10 women have pain with sex the first time they have sex after baby. And about a quarter of that population still have pain with sex 18 months later, which is like over a year of painful sex. And so that is going to be very hard on your intimate relationship with your partner. A lot of women feel like disconnected with their partner anyway because of motherhood, and now they can't be intimate with them. They feel frustrated. They feel shameful. They feel like they're not being a good partner. And there's just all these really complex feelings that go around with something that can be very easily helped. And that's what's like so frustrating for me, is that it can be helped and they can feel better, and it trickles down. You know, it's not just about like making your vagina feel better. It's like the whole woman. It's the whole mama. It's like her whole life, you know, it's supporting it in all of these different facets.
Yeah. I think that mindset piece is an amazing thing that we can continue to talk into. I mean, how much depression and anxiety we see in athletes when they have a major injury that keeps them out. It, like, there's no greater sport and championship and Super Bowl in the world than raising a kid. And to be expected to do that without any support or without any training as to what you can do with your mind to use to your advantage after that happens, you know, it's a shame. And I really think, like you said, using that team approach and making sure you have somebody working on the physical with you, working on the mental and emotional approaches with you, having those providers communicate. Why don't we have these things in our system? I think that's where providers like you, people who are so forward with speaking about this stuff, we're so grateful for. Where can people find the stuff you do? You've brought up your Down There Method, your Instagram page. Where else can people find you?
Yeah. So I have a couple places. So my Instagram is the Down There Doc. So I'm on there a lot. I also have Facebook, but I'm like old and there's like too many buttons on Facebook, but I am on there. But usually Instagram is the best way. And then also I have a website, marcycrouch.com. Both my website and Instagram have links to my virtual sessions. So I do virtual sessions for people. And I also have online programs. So that's the DT method. And it's geared, I have 2 online courses. One is for birth prep, and then the other one is for postpartum recovery. And they are available and they're awesome. And the moms that are in there are so great. And it's such a fun little community. And I just love all the text messages that I'm getting from people that are like, oh my God, I just had my baby and it was great. And I just had sex the first time and it didn't hurt. And oh my God, I'm not peeing anymore when I sneeze. And just like these little victories. I'm like, yes, that's so awesome. I'm like, I'm so happy for them. So it's such a great resource for moms. And my dream is to just, you know, have it available for everybody and have it just be like, oh yeah, I'm pregnant. Okay. Got to get the course. Like I'm ready. I'll get both and like feel amazing. So that's my ultimate goal, is that everybody who gets pregnant gets them and feels awesome.
I absolutely love that. And it's so incredibly necessary. And I love that you just, you know, ended it out with what people are feeling and expressing within the group, because it portrays this hope of like, I don't have to live like this. There's another way and it's possible. And I think the more that we continue to push that message, the greater that women are just going to be continue to be supported. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the work that you are doing and bringing and helping people. It is so needed, Marcy.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. I love vaginas and I want to help them all the time. So any chance I get to share the programs and the work and raise awareness and have these conversations, I am just so grateful that you all are want to talk about it and value it. And I'm just grateful to have you all as colleagues. So thank you so much for bringing me on.
And there we have it, yet another amazing guest on the Optimal Body Podcast. So now what we ask of you, if you loved any bit of that or resonated with it, go share it out, share it with a friend, share it on your social media, because you know there are more people out there that would resonate with it just the same. Also, subscribe, rate, review on your favorite podcast app so we know what you want to learn or other guests that you think we should bring on for you in the future. Keep tuning in to find your optimal body.